Sonic Boom is brought to you by the Music Department at Lewis University.
Our newly designed music industry degree is a culturally inclusive, experiential, and multifaceted music program for students who are interested in pursuing careers in the highly diverse music industry.
Music industry students choose their own pathway to a life in music through one of our four concentrations: pop music studies, music business, pop music performance, or music production and recording.
To learn more about this innovative program, please visit lewisu.edu/music.
That's lewisu.edu/music.
Mi gente, welcome to Sonic Boom. I'm Eric Hernandez, and today we're going to be talking about regional Mexican music. I don't know why I just said we. I'm the only one in this studio right now. Now, if you're not Latino, you may not know that regional Mexican isn't just one genre. It's just an umbrella term to describe all genres of Mexican music. Now, this can go from mariachi to norteño to tejano to sierreño, but today we're going to be focusing a little more on corridos and corridos tumbados and corridos bélicos. You can't forget those. Now, I'd say the main figurehead for corridos in general at the moment would have to be Peso Pluma. And a lot of y'all could argue with me and say that it's Fuerza Regida because they did it first, or that it's Natanael Cano because he started this trend, or that these aren't real corridos, and to put on some Chalino Sanchez. But at the end of the day, these numbers don't lie, man. I mean, Peso Pluma and Eslabón Armado had the biggest song of the summer, with Ella Baila Sola reaching number one worldwide, being the most streamed song of the summer on Spotify. I mean, even though it didn't reach number one in the U.S., it did reach number one worldwide. I think that's even more monumental. Peso Pluma would go on to perform this song at Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show. He was selling out stadiums this summer with his tour. He continues to sell out these arenas. He even came to Tinley Park a couple months ago. I mean, you couldn't escape this song. It was all over TikTok. It was all over social media. I'm sure you've heard it. I mean, even that little guitar riff at the beginning, I'm sure you've heard it somewhere. And being Mexican and making music in this genre and seeing a Mexican artist on an international stage is so encouraging. And I think that as Mexicans, we've been waiting for this a long time. I don't think we've had an artist this big since Selena. And Peso Pluma's been breaking barriers, making songs in reggaeton. I think he has a collaboration coming out with ASAP Rocky soon. At the end of the day, I think corridos in general are on the move, and I'm expecting to see a lot more of that in the next few years. Now, where did this all start, though? I mean, this upward trend of Mexican music just seemed to come out of nowhere. I'd say this started in 2021. The first regional Mexican song to enter the Billboard Hot 100 was Gera MX and Cristian Nodal's Botella Tras Botella. This made Billboard history. This was the first song to reach the Billboard Hot 100, and it ended up peaking at number 60 on the charts. And this wasn't even the only song this year. Iván Cornejo released Está Dañada and Grupo Firme released Ya Supérame, which were also on the Billboard Hot 100. 2022 was an even bigger year for regional Mexican music, with Yaritza y Su Esencia, Soy el Único debuting at number 20, which at the time was the highest a regional Mexican song had been on the Billboard charts. Now, Yaritza y Su Esencia are subject to a lot of controversy right now because of a pretty bad interview, but I think they'll get it back, hopefully. I can't tell. Grupo Frontera would also have multiple entries to the Billboard Hot 100, with No Se Va being their biggest one that year, or at least their most known. But 2023 has been the biggest year by far for regional Mexican music. I mean, Peso Pluma took up multiple spots on the Billboard Top 10 during the summer. Mind you, multiple spots on the Billboard Top 10. And that was just on the Top 10. There were a lot more regional Mexican artists. It would take way too much time to list them all on the Top 100. And that's something that's great. I mean, just a few weeks ago, of the time of recording this, Peso Pluma performed at the VMAs where he sang Lady Gaga off of his new album, Genesis, which is currently sitting at number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100 albums. even though it was released back in June. It's currently October as of the time of recording this. This is insane to see a regional Mexican artist on this level. Now, I don't even think Peso Pluma is going to be the biggest artist we'll see. I think that there will be a lot more of this in the next few years. At least I hope so. I could really see this genre expanding a lot more. And I really hope that it does in the next few years. Now, I think the next artist to watch out for is pretty local. He comes from Joliet, Illinois, pretty close here to Romeoville. He released a new song just about a week ago, of the time of recording this anyways. I've actually known him personally. I've known him for a pretty large part of my life. And I think y'all should take a listen to his new song. It's called Nada by Kairos 8 and Legado Imparable. I think we have it here. We could roll it real quick. Here it goes. Now you just listen to Nada by Kairos 8, that's spelled K-A-I-R-O-S-A-I-G-H-T, available on all platforms. And if you haven't figured it out already, that's me. And if you haven't figured out yet, corridos, a lot of people think that they just focus a lot on narcos or on the ranch life or things along those lines. But that's not the truth. I mean, they could focus a lot on emotional aspects. I mean, that last one could be a breakup corrido, or if you could classify it as that. Now, I don't want to go off on a tangent about how I made that song or anything. So let's talk a little bit about the origin of corridos and how regional Mexican music came to be what it is today. Now let's go back a little, and by a little I mean a century and a half. In the mid-19th century, a lot of European immigrants started going to Mexico, and with them they brought the accordion and polkas and things along those lines. And the people loved it. I mean, it just became such a big part of the culture that they ended up incorporating the accordion and these rhythms into their folkloric music, into their folkloric music, and it ended up becoming what's known now as sierreño with the accordion. But this the rhythm is, it can be found in a lot of, in most regional Mexican genres. Now, I would say corrido started around the time of the Mexican Revolution, from 1910 to 1920. And back then, corridos would talk a lot about the events of that time, including battles, including praising generals. But they also served as a way to lift the spirits of the people and encourage them to fight on the right side. And then in the 1930s came the first narco corridos, which would talk about drug smugglers. But these narco corridos were nothing like what they are today. I'd say that corridos started becoming what they became today around 1974, when Los Tigres del Norte released Contrabando y Traición, which is considered by many to be the real first narco corrido. This told the story of two drug smugglers bringing marijuana across the border from Tijuana to California. And from there on, I think the topic of drugs and violence has been completely desensitized in corridos. It's pretty standard. And one of the biggest figures, and to this day known as El Rey de los Corridos, the king of los corridos, would have to be Chalino Sánchez. And Chalino Sánchez was a badass, man. I mean, he was born down in Culiacán, Sinaloa, probably known as one of the most dangerous cities in Mexico. And at the age of 17, he shot and killed his sister's rapist at a party in front of multiple people. And because of this, he had to flee all the way to Tijuana, where he would work as a coyote or a immigrant smuggler for some time. And eventually, he made his way to L.A., where he would work multiple jobs. He washed dishes, he sold cars, and according to some friends, he also dealt small quantities of weed and cocaine. Can't leave that out. He also continued helping his older brother run the coyote operation. In 1989, Chalino Sánchez recorded his first mixtape, which he would end up selling at swap meets, at outside of bakeries and outside of several other businesses in central L.A. Eventually, he would meet Pedro Rivera, who had a small recording studio, and this is where Chalino Sánchez would end up recording even more songs. He was commissioned by a lot of narcos and people of the cartel to write corridos for him, sort of like in the Baroque period where people of high status would pay composers to compose music for them. It's kind of the same thing, man. You know, it's narcos and... Okay, I'm sorry. Chalino Sánchez was heavily influenced by the gangster rap movement of the 1980s and the 1990s. He incorporated a lot of elements from gangster rap because he was around it so much. But he wouldn't just record corridos. He would also record love songs and heartbreak songs. And to this day, his most famous song would have to be Nieves de Enero, or the last song that he sang, which was Alma Enamorada, which he was killed after performing. But Chalino Sánchez opened the door for so many more artists in this genre. Because of Chalino, so many people weren't as scared to talk about pressing issues. And corridos now talked about political issues, but a lot of corridos also still focus on narco culture. And after this era, a lot of people would say that corridos sort of froze in time. There wasn't much development from the 90s to the 2010s, I would say. They all sounded pretty similar. There wasn't much new being brought to the table. Sure, it was still great music, and there was a lot of growth at this time, but there was not a lot of new things that were brought to the table. Now, corridos aren't just one genre either. Corridos can be banda, it can be sierreño, they can be norteño. Corridos mostly focus on telling stories. Now, this is where it gets really tricky. I mean, there's been a lot of debate lately with Fuerza Regida claiming that they were the first ones on this wave, and that Natanael Cano being credited a lot being the founder of this new regional Mexican music movement. But a lot of people would say that it was Omar Ruiz who really popularized this newer style of corridos, or who was at least a pioneer in it. But a lot of people would say that this newer trend of corridos really started around 2015. with Arsenal Efectivo. Arsenal Efectivo is just made up of two vocalists, two guitars, and one bass, an acoustic bass at that. And what set them apart from many people was this sierreño style, the two guitars and the one bass, but also the method used to play the bass. Slapping the bass became pretty prevalent during this time, and to this day, it's still a pretty big part of corridos and regional Mexican music in general. But the popularization of corridos really started around the time Natanael Cano started making music. And Amor Tumbado was probably a turning point in regional Mexican music, with this song receiving a lot of criticism, both positive and negative. A lot of people didn't like this new sound, but it's grown on a lot of people, actually. Natanael Cano ended up coining the term corridos tumbados to refer to this new generation of corridos. And the rest is history. It's just developed into so much more than it was before, and there's been a lot of collaborations between genres. And about a year ago or so, the trombone started becoming pretty prevalent. The trombone and the double bass started becoming pretty prevalent in regional Mexican music. But the trombone's been being used since Omar Ruiz has been around, and I know it was on a few of Eslabón Armado's earlier songs back in 2019, 2020. But they started becoming a pretty big part of corridos nonetheless about a year ago. I think it started around the time Natanael Cano, Peso Pluma, and Gavito Ballesteros released AMG. A lot of people credit Natanael Cano, Wikipedia included, credits Natanael Cano with being the creator of the new era of corridos, with corridos tumbados. But then came corridos bélicos. I'm not sure who coined the term. I think it might have been Luis R. Conríquez. Which these corridos were specifically about narcos, though, at least initially. Now, bélico has just come to mean a sort of style in the corridos tumbados subgenre, where there's two alto horns in the background as armonía and sometimes a trombone, and also a double bass instead of the acoustic bass still being slapped. And these became pretty prevalent. The trombone in corridos has been around for a while. I mean, it probably goes back to Omar Ruiz, and even Eslabón Armado had trombones on a few of their songs and their albums before 2020. But yeah, corridos bélicos just sort of come to denote having two alto horns called charchetas and a double bass in the background instead of the acoustic bass. And I don't think we have the ability to play these bigger songs by Peso Pluma and Natanael Cano. I don't think we have the rights for that. But what I do have the rights for is my original corrido, of course, you know. Here's Montana by Kairos 8, Chino Villetes, and Legado Imparable.
Peleando
Carlos.
Siempre ando soñando, siempre quise más dinero, más feria en el banco. Correteando las vacas, así yo fui criado. Compensé para ganar la vida de malandros.
Azul es mi billete, todo limpio y lavado. Tengo varios sucios, sacaste casa a Chicago. Tengo a mi gente siempre listos y formados. A todos los corrientes ahí les mandamos trabajo.
Y aquí andamos con todita mi plebada, no se escucha nada, no más balas rebotaban.
Recito con mi vida, estilo Toño Montana. Soy quien manda órdenes, también la última bala.
Y eres compa chino.
Siempre listo pa' chambear, con el 40 en la izquierda y el rosario en la derecha.
Índice para accionar, bien bajado, bien alerta, siempre puesto a la respuesta.
Pura empresa,
fierro viejones. Now you can also listen to that song on all platforms. Again, it's Montana by Carlos 8, Chino Villetes, and Legado Imparable. I want to take a little time to talk about a few of the underground artists in the industry that I really think should deserve their flowers. I mean, not necessarily underground, but their fusion of genres is really amazing to see. I mean, I think Danny Lux has done a lot for regional Mexican and his fusion of indie with regional Mexican. But there's also been artists like Los Aptos, Eslabón Armado has also done a lot of fusions of genres, especially in their earlier albums. R, Exo Derek, Iván Cornejo, I know I mentioned him earlier, but he's done really good at combining genres. Now, I'm not going to focus on any of the artists individually, because I won't be able to play their music at the end of this episode, but I do want to take a little bit of time to talk about their fusion of genres and the future outlook of regional Mexican and what I think is what might be a trend in the future. It's definitely not uncommon to hear a combination of two genres in regional Mexican music. There's been a lot of artists who've mixed regional Mexican with indie music, with rock, with reggaeton even. Just a few weeks ago, Fuerza Regida released a song with Shakira. Peso Pluma was on a Beezer rap session where there was a standard corrido beat, but a lot of Latino rap influence in it, especially with the auto-tune, with the electronic instruments in the background. And I think overall, this is where regional Mexican music in general is going to be heading. It's going to be a lot more combination of genres. And I think this is definitely going to be a great way for people who aren't Mexican or Latino to just get into Hispanic music in general. I think overall, this is just the beginning of everything. There's going to be a lot, like I said earlier, there's going to be a lot more to see, a lot more to come in the future of regional Mexican music. And this combination of genres is especially going to aid in that. Now, as a closer, I mean, I don't have much input left to give on the combination of genres other than it's really going to expand this genre even more. It's really going to expand Mexican music even more. So I just want to take some time to show y'all the first song I made. It's sort of I'm not too great at genres, at defining genres, and I don't want the genre police to come at me. So if anyone knows what this is, because I can't put my finger on it, it's the combination of two genres. I couldn't tell you which two genres this would be. Here's Espérame by Carlos 8, also available on all platforms. Thank y'all for listening. In any case, thank you for listening to Sonic Boom. I'm Eric Hernandez, or Kairos 8. This episode was produced by me. All these songs in between the breaks, that was me, man. Sonic Boom is a production of the Lewis University Department of Music. For more information about this podcast or the Department of Music, visit lewisu.edu/music. That's lewisu.edu/music. Thank y'all. Ciao, ciao.
Que yo he dedicado. Espérame, espérame. Pero me muero la lengua y me rindo.
Attention all flyers, come hang out with the College of Humanities, Fine Arts and Communications, also known as COFAC, on March 22nd for the first annual COFAC Kickback. Learn about all of the amazing things we're doing in our college and join us as we honor the Titan of Thespians, the Maestro of Method, the Beacon of the Bard, Professor Emeritus Keith White. Enjoy signature cocktails and culinary delights while reconnecting with old friends and making new ones. Tickets are only $50, and your evening includes hors d'oeuvres, entertainment, fun activities, and of course, an open bar. So join us on March 22nd for an incredible and memorable evening celebrating COFAC. To purchase tickets, go to COFAC.org. That's COHFAC.org. Once again, that's COHFAC.org. Experience our college. Celebrate our success. Go Flyers!